Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. And let's see. Welcome, Lynn. Love to see you. And welcome, Ahava, from, I think you're in Santa Fe. And welcome to all of you who are together up there in the north. I'm broadcasting from Florida. As you can see out my window. And it's so powerful for me to be able to meet with you again each week. It's a great foundation for this life. So we're in the Torah time of Yitro. And we're standing at Sinai. But can we stand Sinai? Can we bear the gift of Torah from an invisible, formless God? Can we open to direct experience of the source of being right now? God says to Moses, "Say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you saw what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to me." Wow. "How I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to me." Can we feel carried and cared for in this life? And why does God call the people both the house of Jacob and the children of Israel? Well, I don't know, but perhaps Jacob, you know, is that part of ourself caught in a narrow self view with its self interests. And when Jacob wrestles with the Ish, he becomes aware of his nighttime side, dark, scared, desperate. And he prevails, but with a wrenched hip, which will make his vulnerability apparent to the whole, to the rest of the world. Right? We try to hide our inabilities some way. Only then he gains the name Israel, for the ability to shift from wounded herder to wounded healer, which I hope this meditation practice helps me to do. Rabbi Shefa Gold says that from the perspective of eagle's wings, we can see everything, light and dark, joy and pain, and connection to everything. The Torah scholar Aviva Zornberg says the image of being carried on eagle's wings conveys intimacy, protection, love, speed, and the enormous power of the adult effortlessly carrying its young. So our burdens may be weighty to us, but not to the source of life, who can carry us on eagle's wings. Can we let go into that divine embrace? And no is okay for an answer, as yes is. Or what? The next line of Torah gives us yet another way to enter into divine connection. It's usually translated as, "If you obey my commandments, you will be my treasured possession." But in the Hebrew actually says, "Now, if you listen deeply to my voice, Shemoa Shema Koli, and guard my covenant, you will be to me a treasure." Guard in Hebrew is Ushmartem, one of the words for mindfulness, Shemor in Hebrew. So pay close attention, non-judgmental attention, to how the divine expresses itself in you in this moment, you divine treasure. The Parasha says that if you listen faithfully and keep my covenant, if you keep this awareness of our interconnection, you will be my treasured possession. Indeed, all the earth is mine, for you shall be for me a holy nation. So nowhere in Torah is the connection to a larger perspective, more dramatic than in this week's Torah portion, Yitro. This is the direct encounter at Sinai with the flow of ethical insights that come naturally from this direct connection to our source of being. All the Israelites are like us. In each moment of divine flow as it arises, can we allow it to be seen, to arise, to abide and pass in awareness? Can we enter into relationship with that which is guiding us right now? Whether it's peaceful or turbulent, focused or spaced out. The reaction of the Israelites mirrors our own. Nope, too scary. Hey, you go up the mountain, Moshe, and then tell us later what God says. Rashi says that the Israelites were blown back. They could not bear the experience of intimacy with the One. It seems to me that that's how I function. The moment arises, and I'm telling myself something about the moment that's already gone. I'm judging, fixing, avoiding, changing reality in ways that bow to and enforce my individual and ancestral conditioning. So what I learned as a child, that these are the 10 commandments, but the Kabbalists call them the 10 utterances. And here I'm going to give you my personal contemplative non-dual reading of these 10 utterances from the perspective of our practice. Number one, Anochi Yudhei Vavhei Elohecha, Asher Hotzei Ticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Beit Avadim. I am the great I am that took you out of the land of the narrow places, from the house of slavery. So the great I am, the only self there is. Rabbi Arthur Waskow taught us that this was the breath God, breathing in, breathing out. And each time we merge with direct experience of breath, we merge with that one self, the I am, the Anochi, connected to everything. Each breath, a little Sinai of annihilation. This is what takes us out of the land of narrow self-conception, out from under the house of slavery. Utterance number two. When you pay close attention to Yahweh, you won't have other gods, but you'll forget. And when you bow to the gods of desire, hatred, and delusion, you'll feel cut off, afraid, ashamed, or hard driving. That will have tough consequences for future generations. But when this narrow self can rest in the life-giving spaciousness of breath, then you will open to boundlessness, to boundless love. That will also have amazing consequences for future generations. Utterance number three. When you live this breath, this connection with everything, you won't swear falsely. Utterance number four. You will find a way to balance 6 days of doing with 1 day just for being. Stopping and souling. And if you can find that balance, you will, utterance number five, forgive your parents and honor their legacy a legacy of the ancestors in your body. And number six, you will know you are part of the great I am, so will not be able to kill another's life. Or seven, have sexual relations that cause harm. Or number eight, or take refuge, or take what is not freely given. Number nine, or falsely accuse others. And number 10, you will be able to watch mindfully your yearning for what others have or are, so you won't have to chase after their spouses, their material objects, their talents. The 10 utterances all issue forth from the first utterance, Anochi, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh Elohecha. I am Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, your God. And the 10 utterances arise out of the first word, Anochi, I am. And the 10 utterances arise out of the first letter of Anochi, which is Aleph, which is silent. This God name, Anochi, I am, is the silence before and within every sound. It is the I am inside each of us, interconnected with everything. These guidelines, these precepts, are there to awaken your natural ease and caring, so you may be available to experience the Anochi, the great self that runs through each one of us. It's as if we can see through the shenanigans of the personalities and see the beloved in each being. The last line of the Aleinu prayer says that someday God's name will be one. Yah Eloch Echad Ushemo Echad. God's name will be one. Someday all beings will recognize and be recognized by their divine nature. So here we sit together. Regardless of the suffering or the joy we each may encounter, we refrain from our usual social habits. We breathe together. We let go language. We open to the expansiveness and interconnectivity of breath. Our personal individual, I, me, mine, gets to hang out and be held in a larger interdependent reality. Our hearts open, and we notice each other as part of ourselves. In silence, we give our personalities a rest with the delusion of separation as it diminishes. When we speak each other's heart. We receive Matam Torah, the gift of noticing and bowing to this unfathomable source of all within each one. Rabbi Tirza Firestone writes that this silence is the life force, like a river that flows constantly. In the Talmud, Rabbi Abahu said, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, when the Holy One gave the Torah at Sinai, no bird screeched, no fowl flew, no ox bellowed, none of the angels flapped a wing, nor did the celestial beings chant, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. The sea did not roar, and none of the creatures uttered a sound. Throughout the entire world, there was only a deafening silence as the divine voice went forth speaking, I am. Breathing in, yeah, breathing out. The one and only Anochi, I am, is Elohecha, your God. So this morning we walk the path of liberation together through mindfulness and Torah. We realize that the noise of life will never stop. It's constant and endlessly seductive, irresistibly inviting us to jump in, take part, play, cry, rant, create, cringe, and learn. The gift of mindfulness meditation is that it helps us remember, bring the parts of ourselves together. Remember the unobtrusive river flowing like a baseline at our feet. The underlying silence is constant, and it gives and gives and endlessly delivers us into the ongoing Matan Torah, the giving of Torah, in every moment. I think I'll end there. So let's take a moment, a few moments of silence.